Well, I'm not Bill Campbell. My name is Jonathan, and I fellowship at the same assembly as Bill does in Waterbury. Bill and I were talking about being flexible as far as the time goes, so I have the privilege of speaking as long as I want. Hopefully, I won't go too far. If you want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians, Second Corinthians chapter 7. Second Corinthians chapter 7, I was going to read from verse 2 to verse 7. This is Paul talking. Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts, to die together and to live together. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast comforts us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. I was struck in this passage by the willingness of Paul to really display his love for the saints and to call to remembrance the love that they were to have for one another. This phrase, open your hearts, in verse 2, is something that Paul has been talking about in the entire book of 2 Corinthians. He is trying to evoke in the Corinthians this desire to share their inner heart with him. And he's calling them to this based on a few different things. Earlier in the chapter, he's saying that he himself has his heart open to them, and that should be a reason why the Corinthians should respond to him. So open your hearts to us. I was just thinking about the idea of having your inner thoughts, your inner desires. That's something that is, it's pretty intimate. It's something that's pretty secret. You don't necessarily go around sharing that with every person you meet. You share what you do. A lot of people ask me what I do, what Sarah does when we first met you. But you didn't really ask me what my heart's desires were. It's something that, it's very important. It's something that shows who you are. It shows what is important to you and what you're placing your affections on. And this is something that Paul desperately wants to know from the Corinthians. He desperately wants to know what their inner heart's desires are, and he wants them to share that with him. And that's truly what we're called to as a body, is it not? As the body of Christ, to be able to share intimately with one another. So open your hearts. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. And Paul's making his case. He hasn't gone ahead to wrong anyone in the body. There's no case against him of misdoing. Verse 3, I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. And this little phrase, to die together and to live together, really jumped out at me. I'm currently engaged. Sarah and I are planning on getting married in October. And maybe it's because of my position in life right now, but that phrase, to die together and live together, really stood out to me. It made me think of a coming day when I am going to make a commitment for the rest of my life with one individual. Paul here is speaking in that kind of language. He's saying, I want to live or die together. There's something that speaks of the commitment, the unity, the drawing together that he desires to have with the Corinthians, so that whether they live, whether things go well, whether they're prosperous, or whether things don't go well, he's committing himself to the Corinthians. And again, I would say this is something that the body of Christ needs. It needs people who are willing to die and live together. People who are not just interested in getting together on a Sunday morning to maybe share some things that the Lord has been speaking to them about, but throughout the week, throughout the entire month and the years, to be able to say, we're living and dying together. It's something really special. But Paul doesn't stop there. He continues on in verse 4, great is my boldness of speech toward you. This also is distinct. Great is my boldness of speech. That's something that's really not found today. Someone who's willing to speak the truth in love. And Paul knew the Corinthians. He spent quite a bit of time with the Corinthians, so he knew what they needed to hear. And he was willing to speak that to them. It really shows that Paul not only cared about the Corinthians, but he was a true friend to them. He was willing to say the hard thing, even when it wasn't easy, even when it wasn't in his best interest. It talks about this whole letter that he wrote to the Corinthians, how it caused a lot of problems. A lot of people were really sorry about it. They were sad. But we read on later on that it produced joy in them. It produced repentance. And he was willing to say the hard thing. Great is my boasting on your behalf. This one I really liked because it reminded me that although Paul knew the struggles that the Corinthians had, although he knew of the problems and the weaknesses that they had, he was still very pleased to boast of them. He was still very pleased when he was with others. It wasn't on his heart to bring up the weaknesses that they had. It wasn't on his heart to bring up the struggles, but he wanted to boast in them. He wanted to speak well of the beloved. And then, so this idea of being willing to speak the hard thing to the one that you love, and yet to speak well and boast of that person to others, really speaks of someone who really cares, someone who's a true friend, someone who really loves the person that they're speaking of and speaking to. And when we think of the context of the church, we even go a little step farther and we think of Christ and how he knows our hearts so very well. He knows our most intimate thoughts, and he wants us to share those things with him. And he is so in tune of speaking to us the things that we don't want to hear, the things that we need to hear desperately. But when he is before the Father, he speaks well of us. He boasts of us. He makes intercession. And so we think of our opportunity with the brethren here in the assembly, that as we open ourselves up to one another, as we share our hearts, as we make ourselves available, we have opportunity to speak truth into each other's lives. And when we are out, we have the opportunity to speak well of each other. Paul continues on in verse 5. finishing in verse 4. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Paul is very willing to share his own struggles, is he not? He's willing to share what's going on outside in his body and what's going on inside in his own heart. So he doesn't expect the Corinthians to share with him what he's not willing to share. In verse 6, nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus. I was struck by the fact that, yes, Titus was the one who came and Paul was comforted, but it says God who comforts the downcast comforted us. It is God who comforts those who are in trouble, is it not? And not only by his coming, verse 7, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. It's really, really quite beautiful that Paul is able to derive joy and consolation and comfort in this situation, even though he's troubled on the inside and out, because of the joy of the Corinthians. And how that spread. It spread from the Corinthians to Titus, and Titus was encouraged, and then Titus was able to come back to Paul, and Paul was encouraged. And how that spreading of the joy and the comfort amongst the body was profitable. It was profitable. So just in this little passage, I was so struck by the ability of the body to encourage and uplift each other. I was just convicted in my own heart that each day I have the opportunity to speak truth into my brethren, into my brother and sister's life, and I have the opportunity to speak well of them and to encourage their hearts. And I just I pray that we can all, every day, through the power of the Spirit, have the opportunity to do that as well. Thank you.
All right, we'll transfer the power here. Thank you.